Back so soon, you ask?
Hi.
Why, yes.
What's going on?
It's us, girls. Welcome back to another episode of The Latest.
The Latest BS. And while we're talking about it, please follow our Instagram.
Yes. A little,
you see, because
that's
Sophia,
it.
Yep, that's it. Sophia and I made a little promise. So we were going to shout out our Instagram in the beginning. And then I always forget about it.
Always.
Because my mind goes to, like, we have so many fun things to talk about. And then next thing you know, we're saying our goodbyes. And you're like, hey, by the way, follow our Instagram. I'm like,
yeah, but that's how you know we're true to this. Like, exactly. We really just want to get to talking. We don't even care about promoting the socials, but we should.
We are not professionals whatsoever. We, after countless trial and error of finding a way to record this freaking podcast for y'all. Dude. It literally throwback to me holding my phone up to the microphone. Or was it this microphone? The microphone something. For you talking. Like, that's...
We were in the actual trenches in the beginning episodes.
But, hey, we're here. We're on a weekly routine. We love to see it.
Yes, and thank you for sticking with us. We actually got a really, really sweet DM from this girl, and she just, like, randomly wanted to send us something so nice. She said, hi, ladies. I've been in a weird mood for 2 days and just wanted to listen to something light and fun. I was so happy when I saw a new episode this morning. Thanks for getting me through my boring Monday at work and taking my mind off some things.
Aww.
That's what we're here for. Just turn that little brain off just for a sec, okay?
I love that.
We'll reboot later. But for now, can I just come out and say it?
Please.
Gypsy Rose is pregnant.
I was literally going to say, because I was literally going to say, oh, we should, like, say it at the same time. Because I was immediately going to be like, Miss Jip Jip, Miss Jip Jip is pregnant.
You knew.
I did. I saw the, I will say the maternity photos or, like, the whatever photos, they eat.
Oh, they eat. Oh, she got a good photographer.
Devoured.
Plate. Like, many plates were served.
Plate licked clean. Like, I'm so serious. Like, when I saw those, I went, aw. And then I went, wait. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, and then I clicked on the comments of somebody's video, and the top comment was, is she even healed? Like, she's been out of prison for what? Less than 6 months?
Have you watched the show?
I'm on episode, like, 4, I think. Okay. Because for some reason, because Sophia enlightened me about this, because I had been wanting to watch it, right? And I knew that it came on Lifetime. And mm-hmm. I'm like, who has, I feel like at this point, nobody really has cable anymore. So I'm like, how am I supposed to watch this freaking show, right? And Sophia's like, hey girl, by the way, Lifetime, the app is free to download. Mm-hmm. And I said,
I don't even think you have to make an account. Like, you can just watch it.
Yeah. So I said, oh, period. So I downloaded it. For some reason, upstairs in my bedroom, my TV lags so hard that it just, like, it will just freeze. And I can't. And then it won't let me fast forward because there's ads.
Oh.
I know. It sucks so bad. So I keep having to watch it downstairs. But so far, it's so funny to just watch it when I already know that she's with Ken.
Right.
But, you know, I'm on the episode where where her and Ryan, first of all, Ryan is a pervert. I don't care what you say.
Ryan, her husband?
He is a horn dog.
Oh,
I don't know.
He's definitely a horn dog.
Like, he is just.
I don't know about pervert.
Well, in my mind, I went to pervert. But, like, I don't know. It's just, he is just, the second that she got out of jail, he was like, you and me bed now. And it's like, hey, let her breathe the air out of the prison walls for an hour before you're wanting to jump her bones. Like, please relax.
It was even cringy.
I was watching it with Alex, and he did not know. I mean, he knew who Gypsy Rose was, like, in hearing her story, but he didn't know the gist about anything because he has TikTok, but he doesn't go down the rabbit hole. So, like, we were watching it, or I was watching it, and he just happened to be in the room, and he, like, every time that he would say something, he would go, ew.
That's the thing. It's
just,
like,
icky.
You love him. My thing is, he is definitely too horny, okay?
Oh, for sure.
Now, I do get it. Your girl's been in prison. all you have are thoughts and dreams about her. She's finally in person. Now you can act on it. But slow your roll, like, big time. Because I think he has good intentions. He seems like he's a nice guy. But unfortunately it gives me, like, the full-on ick. Like, to the core, yes. I cannot deal with him. I know that he is a good person. And he truly loves Gypsy, which is the sad part. You can see that he really mm-hmm. does love her and care deeply about her. But it's like you were saying, it's crazy to watch it when we know what's about to happen. Yep. And you can see her getting the ick. You can see her starting to pull away. She doesn't really, he's looking at her phone while she's texting. His eyes are all up in her phone like he's being too nosy. But she was honest and she said, Ken is still on my mind. And she decided to be honest and tell her husband about that. And he, I guess, can't fault her for it. But it became, like, pretty obvious pretty quickly in these little episodes that their marriage was not going to be lasting.
Right. I can't wait to continue to watch. Dude. I can't wait. Because I'm at the episode where she was telling him that she wanted the dog. Mm. The puppy. And he was like, having a dog is a great responsibility, and you would have thought that you asked her to chop off her left arm. Like, I get it. Like, she was very triggered by that, you know, with the whole, you know, with her mom controlling her every move, and she's just like, you can't control me. I'm not a child. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe you shouldn't be in a, you should heal and go to therapy.
And she brings up her mom pretty consistently. Yeah. And at one point, like, they get into an argument, and she's like, because Ryan was upset with her for telling something about their personal life to her sister, and she's like, you're making me feel like how my mom made me feel, like I got in trouble for telling people what's going on, you know, I got in trouble for speaking up, I wasn't allowed to tell people what happened behind closed doors. She's like, that's what it feels like. And in that moment I thought, okay, she does have a point, because right. Ryan was getting upset with her for talking about something. Maybe she shouldn't have. The whole thing is, it's not only was she talking to it about it to her sister, it's on camera. Like, everything there's for like, sure. So he was also pretty upset about that. He's like, why did you have to do that in front of the camera? And he keeps asking her that. I'm like, this is just the craziest type of reality TV, because we see her social media and then we get to watch it actually in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it.
Me too. I'm eating it up.
Oh, and I just watched the most recent episode, honey. It comes out on Mondays on Lifetime, but if you want to stream it, you have to watch it Tuesday. Heard. So if y'all don't know, you can watch it. Ken is
good.
In there now. Like, by episode 6, Ken is on.
I love that. I'm mm-hmm. so excited for it all. But, like, I just, you know, in a way, I don't know. I feel bad for her. I really do.
She needed time alone.
I feel for her. But the thing is, though, she's never been alone, ever. Right. Like, her entire life, she has never been alone. So she, and she even said that in the beginning. She's like, I've never been alone. She said, my mom and, you know, my mom was basically up my tail every second of every day. And then when I got sentenced to prison, I had two roommates, and then now I'm out of prison and I'm married. So it's like, she's never been by herself ever. So it's just, and now because of the fact that, like, I feel like because of the fact that she has been controlled her whole life by her mom about how she can't say anything, she wants to tell everybody everything.
Like, that is a good point.
That's what I've noticed about, you know, just her, like, going on these podcasts and just spilling. Like, she has no PR training, obviously. She's not a celebrity, but it's, I mean, at this point she is, but she was made into being a celebrity. But it's like, she, as her whole life, she has never had control about what she can and can't say, and now she just wants to tell the world everything because she never was able to. That's why she's going hard on all these podcasts, all these interviews. The day is fire, you know what I mean? Like,
she doesn't know.
She has no idea.
She doesn't know how to just, like, it's like decorum. Like, just, like,
yes,
keep some things to yourself. And the thing that Ryan was mad at her for telling her sister about was, like, they needed to take a plan B. And, like, you know, he didn't pull out. He did this and that. And so, like, he was like, that's a little, like, we don't need to be telling our sister that. Now, truly, my sister is going to know literally everything about my life for the rest of my life. Right. But I get him being upset that she said that on camera, you know?
It's yes, like, for sure.
She doesn't know that some things you just kind of just keep to yourself.
Right, for sure. Bit. Right.
Ugh. She has so much to learn. She has so much to learn, and I think that it's kind of crazy that now she's, like, settled down. Like, there's millions of fish out in the sea, and she just jumped out and got with one.
Miss Jip Jip, come on,
and girl. I don't like Ken, I'll say it.
Really?
I don't think he has good intentions. I really don't.
Oh. Well, I'll have to watch to maintain, because I'm behind.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm behind.
Well, I haven't really seen much of him either. I will say they do tease a lot in these episodes. Like, you think in the next one, like, something really big and major. And, like, it just kind of is. They tease it. Yeah. So he's in there a little bit. But anyways, yeah. Gypsy's pregnant. Congrats, girly.
Wild.
Congrats. I hope that, I don't know. It's just, like, I'm excited for her, but I'm nervous to see how, like, the next 2 years go.
Same.
Because she's all up on those TikTok lives, too.
Yes. Her and Ken laying in bed, like, all over my For You page. Hours. Like, I will be doing my nightly doom scrolling, and then I just see her pop up, and I'm like, oh, Gypsy's live. Again, keep scrolling. An hour later, scroll. Oh, there's Ken and Gypsy. Okay, oh, keep scrolling. Oh, and there she is again. Okay, perfect. You know what I mean? It's like...
And three for three.
And it's like, babe, and at that point, it's like, three strikes, you're out. I need to get off of the phone. Like, yeah, I need, like, to get off TikTok. I need to read a book. I need to go touch some grass. Like, if I've seen Miss Jip Jip three times, then, you know, something needs to happen. Great day.
She is living in crazy times. I mean, coming out of prison to, like, this age of social media, I can't. I mean, we're sitting here being like, she should do this or she should do that. I can't also imagine how overwhelmed she is. Like, trying to catch up, but also, like, catch on to everything. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot.
I just, the first episode, she was like, how do you text somebody?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you know, at first I was like, what do you mean? But then I had to stop and think. I'm like, babe, she's been in prison.
Yeah. She's been in prison. No clue. And you're right. She's, even when in prison, she wasn't alone.
Yeah.
Like, she's just always
with someone.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, came out a celebrity. The whole thing is wild.
I agree.
Anyways, yeah, that's what I just wanted to tell you, that she's pregnant, because someone DM'd us all caps, Gypsy is pregnant. I was like, if Brittany opens these DMs, because guys, before we record, like, we just go through the DMs together. And so I immediately was like, Brittany, don't go in the folder, because I wanted to see if you'd be surprised.
That's so funny. I was on TikTok today and a video popped up with her pregnancy announcement photos. And I was like,
yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like it was coming, but, like, I didn't almost want it to be true, because, like, I want her to hold out and, like, enjoy her, like, relationship and honeymoon phase. Enjoy her
freedom.
Yeah.
Girl, you are freshly out the cell. Come on.
I know. This is actually a great segue into one of our DMs, because Gypsy is 32, and we got a DM from a girl who's 30. And first off, shout out to her. She was so nice. And she was like, I've been following you guys. I listened to your podcast. Like, you guys are really comforting and just so sweet. So thank you, girl, for all of the kind words. She said she wanted to reach out because she's been really down lately. And she wanted to let us know kind of what she's going through. And maybe we can, you know, give her some advice. So she said, I'm 30 years old and I feel like I've ruined my life because I don't yet have my person, a fulfilling job that pays me enough, and I feel passionless and hopeless about my life path. I'm not matching up to where I feel I should be. I'm behind. I'm really wanting words of encouragement about this life anxiety and how to cope with these feelings. Well, first off, behind in comparison to who?
Literally, you're reading my mind. You and I are telepathic. Because as soon as she said, I feel like I'm behind, I'm like, what are you comparing that to?
Right.
I'm like, what is your idea of behind? I'm like, are you behind in things that you can control? Or are you behind because it's the game of comparison?
It's like society's timeline.
Exactly, because that is a completely different story. If you are, you know, if you're behind because you haven't done laundry in a month, that's something you can control.
Right.
Do the laundry. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But if it's something like, oh, I'm, like she said, I don't have my person, I'm not married, whatever, that's something that you necessarily can't control.
Right.
So that was my first thought.
Yeah. Step one is like, and I think we're all kind of guilty of it because we see other people doing other things at 22 and 24 and 26. And even when I was younger, I honestly thought that I would be married with children by now. Like I honestly, and probably like 3 years ago, if we're being mm-hmm. honest, probably at 22 popping them out is what I would have told you. I didn't know. I literally had no clue. I couldn't be further from that in my life. I feel like I'm just not ready for that responsibility. Like,
yes.
I'm not there yet. And I think it's, and, but still I get those thoughts of like, oh my gosh, I'm behind, but I don't even really want all that. But
right.
people make me feel like I should because that's how it's supposed to go, right? Mm, like,
yep.
there's supposed to be this order. But in reality, there is no order. There are no rules. You know, it's all in due time, I feel like, is what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
I think it's just, it's above us.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally out of our hands.
It's totally out of our hands, like... You know, I feel like I'm pretty spiritual. I'm a Christian. So I'd say that it's definitely, I believe it's God's plan. Like the plans for our lives are completely out of our hands. But it's just, it's literally just taking one day at a time. You know what I mean? It's like, and I fall victim to the comparison game constantly. You know, me, especially when I graduated college. I saw everybody getting their dream jobs. They're going to grad school. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. Absolutely no idea. And I was like, I'm working in a restaurant. And I worked in a restaurant for 5 years after I graduated. Or not 5 years. I don't even think it's been 5 years since I graduated college. Math. Has it? I don't remember.
I don't
but even, I don't. No. Wait, hold on. It has been. It's been 6 years.
Oh.
Since I graduated college. I worked in a restaurant for like 2 or 3 years after I graduated, right? Yeah. And I immediately took that as, oh, I am not successful because of the fact that I do not have a job in my degree. I don't have a job in my field. But then at the same time, I had a come into Jesus moment with myself. And I was like, you know what? I am not going to put this pressure on myself because I don't dream of work. When people are like, what is your dream job? I'm like, I don't have one because I don't dream to work. Work does not take over my life. Do I have to work? Yes, because I have to make money to live. But it's like, once I came to the realization that I want to find a job that doesn't make me want to kill myself. You know what I mean?
That's it.
If I can find a job that I don't hate, that I can tolerate every day, that doesn't make me want to rip my hair out, then I'll do that. And then I will put my passions and my time and my energy and my really just like my personality and the positive attitude into something that I feel like is worthwhile and not my job.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's so true.
It's just, because I mean, you know, those people that want to be lawyers, that want to be doctors, it's like, they know what they want to do pretty early on, or if they come to that realization, and then that's their passion. They put all of their hard work into achieving that passion. But it's like, if you don't have one, who cares?
Right. And also, you're going to feel behind, because it's like, why don't I love something so much? Like, exactly. Why don't I? And maybe you find out that your job field or your employment field or whatever it ends up being, maybe that's not where you're passionate at all. Maybe you're not passionate about it at all. Maybe you're passionate about, like, when you get home from work, you get to, like, go knit or go sew or do something. You know, like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be, I guess, super passionate about your job. But it's also like, what are you willing to settle for? Like you said, you don't have to love your job, but if you can make it through the week and get your check and be okay with it, and that just helps you live the lifestyle that you want to, so you can be happy on the side outside of work, that can be enough, you know? Yeah, You don't have to be, like, Amen. Skipping into work every morning, chirping with the birds and, like, drinking your OJ. Like, that, yeah. So she was like, I feel passionless and hopeless about my life path. So what I would say is focus on the things that you can control. Like, you can't control that you haven't met your life partner yet, you know? It will likely happen at some point, but you're not going to be able to say for sure it's going to happen within the next month or the next year. So start trying to, like, release those weights off of yourself and those pressures to, like, get the perfect job and find the perfect man and have the best house and do that. And focus on, like, the little things that you can control. Like, maybe you're not super happy just in and of itself. Like, maybe find some little hobbies, something to, like, look forward to in the morning. I always look forward to my coffee, like, get a little drink, set up a little bar cart, a little barista cart, you know, just the little things that you can control will be easier to take on than thinking, like, oh, I gotta go find the love of my life today. Like, okay.
Right. Don't put that much pressure on yourself. No. I feel like that's what really what it stems down to is comparison and pressure. Yeah. It's like, it's this life is short. And if you think about it in the grand scheme of things in an entire lifespan, 30 is not old.
No.
You know, it's like, if you think about it from, like, if ideally you live to be 100, right? Obviously that's not for everybody, but if you're just having a scale, 30 is a long way from 100. That's 70 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have so much time to find what you're passionate about, explore different avenues, to make mistakes, to learn from mistakes. And, you know, as far as finding your partner, I am not going to tell you that it's going to happen when you least expect it, because that made my blood freaking boil when I was single and when wanting to be in a relationship. When people are like, just don't think about it and it will happen when you least expect it, I'm like, bite me. How about that? Yeah. Bite me. That's the least helpful information or the least helpful advice to give you. But as far as that, there really is no good advice. There really is no, if there was a handbook being like, hey, here are these five to 10 steps that you need to take in order to find the love of your life, your future spouse,
we would all do it.
We would all do it.
I think another way to, like, flip it and look at it as well, which people have reminded me of this, as recent as, like, a couple days ago, someone commented this, basically saying, like, okay, you're 26, Sophia. Mentally, I feel like I'm 18 to 20, so it is a little depressing sometimes. I'm like, oh, I'm 30. But I'm 26. Right. I've lived 26 years.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who die when they're 18. Mm-hmm. They don't even get to 20. There's a lot of kids who die at 7 years old, tragic accidents. Like, every single day, we feel like, it's almost like we feel like we have a right to it, you know? But, like, we don't, because we have no idea what could happen at all. So if you kind of flip the coin and look at it from that side of, like, okay, it's not like my time is ticking. It's actually like I'm living on borrowed time. Like, we don't really know what we're promised, and we're really not promised anything. So I try to look at it that way, kind of like every day is a gift. Like, there's something to cherish and be happy about every single day, simply because, like, we just get the chance to do it again.
Yeah.
And not everyone does, which is kind of sad, but...
Right.
It's a good way to, like, get over, this is me talking to myself, get over being sad about being 26. Like,
right.
At least I made it there.
Honestly. Hey, just checking every day.
Dude, every day. Every day. When you said I'm not passionate about working, I felt that. I, personally, my dream job would be to get a check of $10,000 delivered to my door once a month, every month for the rest of my life, and all I have to do is just look cute.
Literally free will. That's what I'm passionate about, is to just do. That sounds perfect. I used to have dreams and aspirations. That sounds so bad. Because of the fact that I basically had a dream job at some point in time. I wanted to be a therapist.
Oh my gosh.
I did. Wanted to be a therapist. I went to school for psych, got my degree. And then when I found out that I needed to go to more school, and I barely made it through undergrad.
Mm.
I was like, okay, I need to go to more school. Heard that. And then I found out how much it was going to be.
Mm.
And then I feel like, and then, but you know, just, it was just a never ending slow cycle. And eventually I said, absolutely not.
Mm.
I didn't have the grades for it anyway, but still
couldn't if I wanted to.
Could they probably would look at my application, laugh and chuck it out the window. Like it, we regret to inform you, you know? So it's like
something along those lines.
Something along those lines, ma'am. You're that's hilarious. So that's yeah, so
funny. Oh gosh, being a therapist. Okay, I'm like, oh, being a therapist. I love therapists. Okay, they've helped me through many times in my life. Mm. But you have to sit and listen for so long.
Yeah,
all day. You just sit and listen. Patient angels. Could never be me.
I feel also, bad for my therapist.
I simply what that she's like impatient.
No, I cry at every session.
Oh, I thought you said I get that from my therapist. I was no. She wants you to like wrap it up.
Oh, no, girl. No. I said I feel bad for my therapist because your girl is crying at almost every session.
That's what they sign up for, though. They sign up to just so like good, sit though. And listen.
Yep.
I will not even lie. Let me pull up my to-do list right now because I know it's on there. Oh, yep. Find a therapist, ho. That's what I literally typed to myself.
I love that.
Because I need to. I've been out of it for like 2 or 3 years now.
Mm.
I stopped when I was in Richmond, like going into my second year of living there because it got expensive. It was like they were charging me like $100 a session coming out of my insurance. Oh, how much? Well, okay. Also, at that time, I was making less money than I am now.
Valid.
So, being in like the TV news field, okay, like I wasn't really making all that much. And so, $100 every week on the therapist, I was like, love you so much, queen, but I'm gonna have to take it from here.
Right.
So, I need to get back into it, but like they do help so much. So, hey, Miss 30 year old, like maybe, because I don't want to call you by your name, but I'm not blasting you for your age, okay? That's just what I'm thinking of you in my mind. It's like the girl said she was 30 and struggling.
Yes.
Have you thought about potentially going to a therapist? Because it feels so good to unload all of your problems on someone else.
Yeah, it does. But then my therapist and I were at that point where she'll call me out on stuff. I'm like, I'm not paying you to call me out, even though I kind of am. You know what I mean? They have to hold. They have to hold us accountable.
Right.
But, you know, but anyway, I completely agree. I will recommend therapy till the cows come home. It's so, but finding a therapist is a lot like dating, which again it sucks. It's terrible. It's a lot of kissing frogs in order to get to the prince. It's just, I will never forget when I was shopping for therapists. My mom found this one because when I started therapy, I was still in college and I was in high school at this point. And she found this lady and she was like, hey, like there's this lady, you know, you said you wanted to go to therapy. Like I, you know, commend you for that, you know, whatever. She's very, very supportive of my therapy journey. So I went to this lady. She was a therapist at a church. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I walked into the room and you know, when you're watching a movie and it's like this stereotypical library, but it's like the office of the grandfather.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like dark maroon colored everything, dark woods, like books from floor to ceiling kind of vibe. That's the vibe of the office. It was dark.
Mm.
It was like even like there was only like a little bit of sunlight poking through the window, like the blinds, even the blinds were brown. Like it was just a dark room. And I sat there and I just unloaded on this woman for an hour straight. She did not say a word. I unloaded and just like got everything out, like random things. Cause once I get started, I won't stop. So it's like my therapist, even now she has to say, let's pause. And I'm like, all right, girl, sorry, just unloaded an entire month onto you. But, but yeah, so I unloaded on this woman for an hour and she did not say a single word until she said, all right, that wraps up our session. I was like, already? I said, well, I feel so much better. I gave her the money and I left. And then I went back to her another time because I was like, maybe she just wanted to get to know me, kind of like a little intro. Same thing. Did not say a single word.
That's so weird.
So I was like, okay, slay. I'm never doing therapy again. This sucks. So I didn't do it for a long time. And then in college, I was really going through it. So I found my now therapist. I still go to her. And I've been going to her for like 8 years now.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea it'd been that long. Yeah, that's girl. That's amazing though. She probably knows you so well.
Oh, she does. She has seen me through three breakups.
Yeah.
College, after college, moving out. Like she has seen me through so many cycles of life. And there was at least a year or two where I didn't go. Because I was like, it was the pandemic and I said, I don't have any privacy. So like, I feel like I can't really just kind of, you know, be openly talk because of the fact that I didn't have any privacy. So I was like, I just stopped going and it was really, really hard. But once she started accepting in-person patients again, I was like, I want to be the first. I'm camping out at your door. You know what I mean? Like I have a tent. I'm waiting for you to unlock those doors and I'm going to be the first one in there.
Oh yeah.
So, but yeah, now I go once a month. My next therapy appointment is Thursday actually.
Oh my gosh. This is really pushing me to get back into it. I will say I am kind of hesitant to try and find a new therapist because it's almost like dating someone new. Like, you have to fill them in on your entire life, and it is such a bore, almost. Like, I just wish you knew why I was so traumatized. Like, I wish you already knew all of the terrible things that have happened to me, and, like, my parents' divorce, and my boyfriends, and ex-boyfriends, and the girls who hate me, and, like, all the... I just wish that it's, like... So that's kind of what's stopping me. So I need to be a good example and just like go ahead, because if I think that forever, I'll never get a new one because I'm going to keep thinking, oh, they'll never be able to catch up. They'll never be able to catch up. Like,
right.
I need to not think like that because it truly does just take off like that weight that you put on yourself to figure everything out by yourself. Mm-hmm. Especially you and I, we were both like conscious minds, like 24/7. Yeah. Like my mind is always talking to me.
Yep.
So sometimes I just need like that unbiased, you know, opinion or that little like tidbit of encouragement or advice. And it's just like better to leave it to the professionals.
That's how I feel. Like, I love the fact that when I go to my therapist, she's completely unbiased. Granted, she knows quite literally every single little thing about me, but it's like, I feel so safe when I'm in there. Like, I don't know. There was just something about her the first session. She sat, like, I walked in, we shook hands, I sat down on the couch, and I just immediately started sobbing. Like, it was just, I felt so welcome, and she only said, like, 3 words to me.
Right.
Like, hi, I'm blank, nice to meet you, you know, this is just kind of, like, our intake, this is me trying to get, to, like, wanting to get to know you, kind of, like, some, you know, some places where we want to kind of start in your journey. Like, you know, she was just so encouraging and her voice is so calming, and she's just, and I just immediately blubbering, and I told her, I was like, I'm so sorry. She was like, that's okay, tissues and water bottles are right next to you if you need anything. And ever since then I'm like, I love you, but like in a healthy way.
She made you feel so safe. She, I guess, did. You just like let your guard down.
Yes, and she's the best. But for those of you who are kind of, I mean, maybe I can tell this to you and just to everybody who's kind of like in this kind of like weird space or kind of time in their life where they're like, kind of like you said, I'm hesitant because I don't want to have to rehash everything. Yes, it sucks getting to that process, but at the same time, you really find and figure out who you are as a person. And it's good to really, and it's honestly a good thing to kind of revisit those, revisit the traumas and kind of like talk things out, because different therapists, they have different kind of viewpoints on things, and you never know if you get a new fresh perspective about something.
Mm.
And it's always so refreshing. And honestly, like starting from scratch and doing the intake is honestly so, it's tedious, but at the same time it can be really nice because it kind of takes away that intimidation of therapy, because I feel like it's a pretty common misconception, or there's just like, you know, stereotypes about therapists. It's like you go in and you just immediately start unloading all of your trauma. It's like that. That's not the case. That's why intakes happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can, and then from there, instead of just, you don't go through 15 different traumas all in an hour, 50 right. minutes. It's like you, it's the therapist's job to pay attention, write notes, pay attention to what you say, and then pinpoint patterns and be like, I noticed that you mentioned you use this language and you said this a bunch of times. Let's start there. And then from there, you'll start there. And then it'll kind of, as you continuously go, it'll kind of start to all mesh together kind of thing. So yeah. That's just that. That's my advice for, you know, people who are wanting to get into therapy or going back to therapy.
That I feel like I definitely needed to hear that, because you're right. It's like, from my perspective, I'm like, oh, I have to go in there and for 1 hour I have to like make sure that I lay out all of these things about my life in the right order so that she really understands why I am the way that I am. Mm. But I'm not going to get through my whole life in 1 hour. Like, no. But it's really nice because, like you said, they write notes. So they start to like lead the conversation. Like they start to kind of take it where they want to pinpoint all of those like little tendencies that you have and things that trigger you and things that upset you and why you are the way that you are. Oh, girl, I got a lot to unpack.
Mood.
I do. My mom found me my first therapist too. My mom forced my sister and I to go to therapy when we were young because we were fighting so bad. Like we were scratching and clawing each other. We hated each other. And my mom was like, I literally don't know what to do with these kids. Like, why do they hate each other? So she put us in therapy, which like, I don't remember much of that. All I remember is that my sister and I would go in there and be like, okay, you're not going to tell her anything either. Okay, cool. And then we would go in there and
so
say nothing and then leave and go back to fighting.
Amazing.
But my mom found me a therapist when I was like, I don't know if I was in college or what, but it was so traumatizing. This lady was like uber religious, and like I walked in, she had this big A Bible like out on the table. I'm talking like a John the Baptist, like a big Bible, and she had it out on the table, and she immediately was like, well, your issues with your father stem back to this scripture here, and this is why you are the way that you are, because your dad did this, that, and the other. I was like, we haven't even got there. I was like, right. What is this lady? Like, it was just the worst experience. Like,
hi, my name is Sophia.
I know. I'm like, I hadn't even really started talking about my dad. Like, I do have daddy issues, but, like, we hadn't really got there yet. And I felt like she just wanted everything to be religious. Now, leave it to my mother to put me in a place like that, which I am a Christian, but, like, I don't need this lady going through the Bible right now.
She's weaponizing it. Like, that's yes. really what it is. She was using yes. it. She was using it as a weapon, which is not what the Bible's supposed to be used in a loving exactly. in a loving manner. And like, she weaponized it, and that makes me angry. It's just because it's like, you know, it.
That's why people hate Christians.
Exactly. Like, if you came to therapy and you were like, I need help in my spiritual journey. I need help navigating through my spiritual journey. I don't know how I feel. I don't know what to do. I don't know anything, blah, blah, blah. Then from there, she can whip out the dictionary, basically, at that point. You know what I mean? She can whip out the Bible that's about as tall as me. And then from there, with the original translation. And then she can go through, you know what I mean? And then she yes. can go through and, like, pinpoint scripture to help encourage, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, but she 100% used that as a weapon, and that is not very cash money.
No, right off the bat, just, like, telling me why I'm the way that I am and all these things. I was like, girl, right. we haven't even scratched the surface. Like,
right.
It was not good, but you have to therapist shop. Like, obviously, yes. I never saw that lady again. So right. I went and found, and it's also great because you can search, like, Christian therapists or, like, mm-hmm. LGBTQ+ therapists or PTSD. Like, people specialize in everything. So I really encourage you, if you've been thinking about it, take this as your sign to let someone else deal with your problems. It for just sure. is so nice.
It really is. I'm like, I always count down the days until my next therapy appointment.
So. I love that you've known her for 8 years. I'm like really jealous of that relationship because that's like so best. Amazing.
She is the best, dude. She's just the best. Like, that's all I can say. She's great. And I, even after 8 years, like, I still feel like she has new things too.
Yeah.
You know, and at this point, because it used to be, I would go every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, I even did, like, a little bit of, like, EMDR therapy.
What's that?
And it's basically, like, it's almost, like, reliving trauma. And that sounds scary, but it's, like, it please correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, for people who are listening, because it was so long ago when I did it. She has this machine, and you hold these two, they almost look like little Easter eggs.
Okay.
You hold these two, and she sends pulses, almost like not electric shocks, but it's like, you know when, you know those, like, that prank gum that you, like, touch it and it shocks you? That's what it feels like, except, mm-hmm. like, a little bit milder. So, like, you hold the Easter eggs, and it sends pulses through your hands, and it's supposed to, like, trick your brain or something into, and it's so hard to explain, but it's like, it's basically you reliving traumatic experiences, and then she'll, like, stop the pulses and be like, what did you see? Or, like, what did you think about? Kind of thing. And then from there, we kind of just sat and talked about it. And then she'd be like, if you want to take a break at any point, please, if this gets too overwhelming, things like that, please let me know. But it really kind of helped unpack a lot of things that were so traumatic that I didn't even realize that they were traumatic. Like, the brain just, like, pushed it down so much that I didn't remember, or it was just, I blew it off as it wasn't that big of a deal. Mm. But in reality, it was like, that's not, Brittany, that's not normal. You know what I mean? So that was overwhelming. It really was, just kind of like reliving and, like, kind of bringing to the surface and saying out loud, because it's different thinking it versus saying it out loud. Saying it out loud makes it real. So it's like, I'm going to look up what EMDR stands for, because I can't remember and it's going to bother me. But
that's interesting. Yeah. But you found out that it helped you?
It did help. Yes. It's, EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. It's a mental health technique. This method involves moving your eyes in a specific way while you process traumatic memories. So instead, she would have me close my eyes and she would send pulses through the little Easter eggs. So that's how we relived a lot of my childhood trauma.
Fun.
Yeah.
I know. I can't wait to get into that. Oh my gosh.
Speaking of trauma and life, I feel like this would be a pretty great discussion to have. I wrote it down. If you could have a dream life, I'm talking from the moment that you're born to death, what would your perfect life be?
I would love to be raised somewhere with a lot, like, surrounded by a lot of lush, like, nature, but also a body of water. So I'm thinking tropical. I'm thinking, like, I would love to be a beach baby, like, born on an island, to two parents who, like, love to sail and stuff, and they, like, settled down on this island, and so I grew up by the water, traveling around. My dream, like, I guess when I get older, it would be really cool to have my own business. That would be, which I kind of do now, but maybe, like, a product, like, something that I just, like, put all my time and, like, passion into. And then that could be, like, my 20s would be spent developing that business, still being on the islands. Yeah, I feel like it's, like, very shallow. But that's what I immediately thought of.
That's not shallow at all. You had a fantastic childhood growing up by a body of water. So you're always going to have that in your heart. Miss Moana moment.
Yes.
And then you're going to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
What part of that is shallow?
I can make my own schedule. I don't know, I'm, like, only thinking about myself, but it is my life, duh.
But it is your life. Hello. And the people that you care about are incorporated in there. You mentioned the family. You mentioned being raised, like, they're little snippets.
I just think nature, you know, like, I think it would be just as a kid be fun to not be raised in a city. I was, like, raised in the Atlanta area, so it wasn't that deep. It wasn't like I was raised in New York or anything.
Right.
But, like, growing up on a farm, like, that would be an awesome childhood. Mm-hmm. Something like that, you know, right. Where, like, the nature is at your disposal.
For sure.
What do you think?
I was going to kind of say, like, the farm thing. I wouldn't want to wake up at 3 a.m. to go feed the cows and the chickens. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to work.
That's a man's job.
I don't want to work, you know? Do not get it twisted. I want to be raised on a farm where all the animals are magically taken care of. You know what I mean?
There's, like, a man for each animal. Like, oh, someone deals with it.
For sure. And also, I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. to bake fresh loaves of bread. Like, let's not get it twisted. I just figured, like, kind of the same thing that you were saying. Like, either on the beach or some sort of, again, like, surrounded by nature. Mm. Not roughing it, but, you know, being comfortable and, like, surrounded by nature. And then, as far as adulthood, it's either that or I want to be, like, I want the life of a little white scruffy dog for a rich white woman. Like, that's what I want. I don't want to have to worry about anything. I just want to wake up and just be pampered and live life stress-free.
Wake up, make my coffee, saunter out onto the porch, maybe read a book, do a little yoga mid-morning, save out 10 a.m.
Oof,
go nice. Make my avocado toast. Mm. Get in the office, the at-home office, okay?
Yes.
Which I have decorated to the nines, and I have a very comfy chair, and nice. I sit in there, I do a little work, maybe I send out some orders, I don't know, make cookies or something.
I love that.
Just the most chill life.
Amazing.
A life of zero responsibilities, preferably.
And no stress.
No.
I don't want to have to stress about anything.
Do you... Okay, this is like... Hard left a little bit. Do you kind of, in your perfect life, would you wish that your parents had stayed together?
No.
Me either.
Absolutely not.
Not good.
No. Absolutely not. The second that I found out that they were getting separated, I was like, thank God. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like everybody would just be better off that way. Of just living our lives separately. You know what I mean? That's definitely how I felt. And, you know, some people are like, oh, my parents are getting divorced. I'm devastated. This came out of left field when we were told, you know, dad's going to stay somewhere. I was like, it's about time. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, right? Oh, thank Christ. But it's like, you know, kids, they pick up on things.
Mm-hmm.
People don't think that kids really pay attention or they listen, but kids listen. And granted, they may not remember everything, but the memory is suppressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's there.
It's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may be suppressed, but it's definitely there and it's definitely present. So... It was the best thing for us.
I agree as well. I don't remember my parents in their, like, initial divorce because I was very young, but their court battle dragged on for years.
Yeah.
So I do remember when I was, like, old enough thinking, oh, I wish, like, mom and dad got together. Would get back together. I remember my dad would listen to, some songs by, like, The Fray and, like, The Script and stuff. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he's thinking about mom. Like, he just wants to apologize. Like, right. He just wants to go back to her and, like, kiss her in the rain and, like, everything is good. And it's actually so sad that, like, my little brain was honestly thinking in the moment, like, my dad misses my mom. Like, but what if this is him calling out to her? Like, he really couldn't give two flying fadoodles about her, and they can't stand each other, and everyone's better off with them not being together.
Yep.
So I think in my story, they would still not be together, and I'm happy for my mom because she needed to get out of there, and she's happier. So I always my mom, like, our parents, it's their first time here too, so they haven't lived, like, multiple lives, and they know everything and never do anything wrong. Like, my mom was in a marriage that she did not want to be in, so, like, right. I can't blame her for wanting to get out of that.
Right.
So I would not force her in my dream life to be back in that marriage. Love
for
you,
sure.
Mom.
Right. I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah. No. Not doing that. But as a child, I probably would have, like, hoped and dreamed they'd be together.
Oh, of course. Because our little innocent minds are...
I know.
Thinking that, oh, if y'all just talked it out, then it's fine. But sometimes it's deeper than that.
Oh yeah, it's much deeper. I like am like, oh, my wedding. Oh, who's gonna what's going on?
Literally. My parents,
I don't honestly think they've been in the same room, I don't know, 20 years.
Wow.
Actually no, because they've been in court together. But like with me in the room with them two, I can't think of a time.
Wow. See, my parents are cordial. They are, yeah. They're very, they tolerate each other. Like, for my birthday dinner, we all went out to dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we do it every year. So it's like, we know it's happening, but that's for an hour and a half tops.
Yeah.
So it's just, other than that, nothing really. The only communication they really have is because of Ryan.
I was about to say that probably forces them to stay at least in contact a little.
Yeah, because of Ryan. So I know that if you know, Ryan didn't have autism and required a lot more, I guess, attention or attentiveness, then they probably wouldn't speak.
Right.
They would only probably speak at, like, I don't know, family functions. But we don't even have those. This is such a sad episode.
Dude, my high school graduation was an actual, it was ridiculous because my dad is more so the one who says, I don't want to see your mom, which is ironic. But my mom was obviously at my high school graduation with my stepdad, and my dad and my stepmom came, but they did not want to cross paths with my mom or my stepdad. So after the graduation, I had to go, like, meet them at a different place on the campus somewhere to, like, take pictures with just my dad.
Crazy.
And then go back and meet up with my mom and my grandmother and the rest of my family. Yeah.
See, that's wild that they couldn't just, like, swallow their pride for 2 hours or 3 hours, because Lord knows graduations take forever and a year. But
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Definitely didn't sit together.
That's crazy. Like, that's childish at that point. Like, that's not fair to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, I was 18 or like 17 at that point.
Right. And so they can't put that on you.
It was ridiculous. And after all those years, like I said, my parents, initially their divorce was when I think my sister and I were like 2 and 3. Like, it's too much to be doing all that. But yeah, like, just stupid stuff like that. It's ridiculous. So
for sure.
I'm glad that they're not together. I think everyone's happier, so that's that on that.
I can't stop yawning. I'm just so sorry. Whew. That's okay. That on that.
We're almost out of hour anyways. What did you want to... Oh, your thing was the dream life.
It was. I think I had... Did I have something else written down? I don't remember. Oh, yeah. This could be lighthearted.
Okay.
A kind of 180 turn. Music these days sucks. It sucks. I don't think I've ever... There is not one artist that I have looked forward to a new album coming out in a long time. I am just like, I am stuck in a constant state of nostalgia.
Ugh.
When it comes to music. Music, they do not make music anymore. It's just like, it's very TikTok core.
I feel like it's all made for movies and for radio and for TikTok.
Literally, these music, like, it's just, it's so TikTok coded, and it's so, like, Disney movie soundtrack. Like, yes. it's so, it's like these artists are, like, trying to be relatable. It's like they're trying to be relatable, and they're trying to, like, I don't know, like, I woke up and I was depressed, and I'm like, where's the poetic? Where is the poetic justice? Where is the lyricism? Like, I don't know. I could go all day.
I agree. I feel like all songs now are just, like, made to be catchy enough that you can use it in, like, a Target ad, in, like, an Old Navy ad, or it sounds good on, like, family radio and also hip-hop radio and also alternative radio. Like, I don't – the first person I think of is Dua Lipa.
All of her songs
are made to be played in Old Navies and at 4th of July celebrations. Like, it's just, they're making it so that it works on the radio and, like, for virality purposes. I don't even know what that word is, but, like, just to get people to listen to it and obsess over it for, like, 5 days.
And then there's the artists that say, oh, I'm writing, working on a new song. Like, when should I drop it? And then it's every video is that song.
Oh, yeah.
And then eventually, once it finally drops, everybody's tired of it because they use it on the same. It's just like the same clip of it on every single TikTok video. Restock my refrigerator with me. And in the background, it's freaking. Oh, God, what's that song? I'm already forgetting. And when I'm back in Chicago, you know what I mean? Like, I can't deal with it.
Those people, I'd never heard of them before. That was my first song that I'd ever heard by that group or whatever it was, same. That Chicago song. I lost my train of thought, but I agree with you 100%. The music. Sabrina Carpenter. I can't stand her songs.
I can't.
I've heard them too much. And it's not that I don't like her as a person, but, like, I am so sick of Espresso and Please, Please, Please. And me too. I didn't even download them on my phone because I've already heard them enough on TikTok. Like, I won't be listening in my free time because I just don't feel the need to.
It's just every other video on my For You page. So both the Sabrina Carpenter songs, or it's the Sabrina Carpenter cover of a Chapel Roan song.
No, please don't put that on my For You page.
I'm not putting it out there. I'm so sorry, like, but
I'm covering my phone microphone.
Now it's like Chapel Roan is every other video on my For You page. The HOTTOGO. Please tell me you've seen that. You've never seen that? Mm-mm. I wish I had your For You page. Don't get me wrong. It is such a catchy song. It's so catchy. But after the 50th time in a day that I see it, I want to bang my head against the wall.
Yeah.
Please. Like, it's just, it's so much. And I don't know how to.
There are so many songs like that, Brittany, that I hear them solely on TikTok, and that does it for me. Like,
same.
So many Megan Thee Stallion songs. So many, what is another, like, big, just, like, their songs are only popular on TikTok type thing. I don't know what it is, but Taylor Swift. I don't Sexy download Red. Any of their songs. Yep, Sexy Red.
I'm like, telling you, dude. I got my fix. And plus, like, I don't know, man.
What was your, like, best years of music? What do you think?
2016.
Ooh.
2016 to all the way back to the 50s. Like, that is... Those are the best. Like, 2016, I'm sorry, Teenage Dream by Katy Perry.
Mm.
Come on, dude. Katy Perry is so slept on. Like, early Katy Perry. Like, OG Katy Perry. This new song that she has is very Coles-coded. Like,
I haven't heard it.
Don't do it.
Don't. It's not good.
Don't do it. It's very, it's, actually do it. I want you to tell me your reaction once you hear it. It's
something about a mother or something, right?
I don't remember. It's something like that.
I saw Trisha Paytas' like reaction listening video, but I never actually heard the song. Just her being like,
you need to hear the song. It's department store. It goes like I'm so confident. Heaven sent. Like, it's so Cole's teenage girl back to school. Coded. Like, it's so, and it makes me so angry. I'm like, this is the same woman who sang Teenage Dream and California Girls. Where is that, Katie? Where is that? Where literally, come on. Katy Perry is so slept on.
Oh.
Right. Extraterrestrial.
She was so good in her prime with the whipped cream. I know you remember the whipped cream bra. My mom was like, don't look.
Same. She was like, my mom's like, Brittany! No, but I'm telling you, like, just even like 90s country,
ooh,
classic rock. Mm-hmm. Like, guess what? I'm going to see Creed in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I am. I could go all day. I am so excited about it. I am so, because, and Chris Daughtry's going to be there. I'm going home
To the place
where I belong. Literally. Like, I'm probably going to cry. Like,
why do those feel like praise songs?
Like, literally. It's just, but there's like a little rumor that, like, Creed is a Christian band.
Oh,
Like, listen, with arms wide open.
Yeah.
Under the sunlight. Hello, I'm praising the Lord under the sunlight with my arms wide open. Okay. Come on. I'm so excited. Oh, my Alex surprised me with tickets. I'm so excited. I know.
It's in Richmond?
It's in Virginia Beach.
Ooh, fun.
Yes. It's going to be so much freaking fun. I can't wait. But yeah, so it's just like music sucks. I need some substance. I need something. Like, yeah. And even Post Malone. Post Malone, I heard like a little blurb of a song, one of his like new teasers to a song that he's releasing.
Uh-huh.
Cuz he's releasing country music. He has a song with Morgan Wallen. I think that he was made for country music. He has a great voice. He is the best of both worlds. He can do both. But this song, this like new blurb of a song that he's putting out, it's talking about a dad walking the daughter down the aisle. I'm like, is this Ed Sheeran?
Post Malone?
Post Malone. Like, I don't know if it's AI. I don't know what it is, but there is but it's, when I listened to it, I was like, why?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So that's going to be everybody's, that's going to be the new TikTok sound of people talking about their dads walking them down the aisle, or the first dance song. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be the new My Little Girl from Tim McGraw. You know what I mean?
Russell Dickerson.
Oh,
Russell Dickinson, whatever hell his
whatever
name
the
is.
Whatever his name is. We were just kids when we fell in love. Like, I can't do it. So,
I think Post Malone's new song with Luke Bryan is not, I don't like it because it seems like a thing.
Know.
Oh yeah, dude. And of course, I think it's something about going out drinking a beer in the woods or something like that.
Right.
But it's just like that super vague, kind of shallowly relatable stuff, like the I'm confident and I'm pretty and like I'm going out with the boys. It just doesn't hit as hard. Like, my personal favorite singer is Lana Del Rey. She sings about tough love. It's gritty. It's dark. But it's also really pretty and it's beautiful at some points. And there's National Anthem and Young and Beautiful. But then she has a song called Heroin and, like, Shades of Grey. Like, I love, like, the scope. Because I really feel like she embodies, like, a good emotion. And her music makes me feel something.
Mm.
Katy Perry's new song probably is not going to hit me like that.
No, it's not. It sounds like AI.
Yes,
like 100,000% sounds like AI.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, we need some more artists with more substance, with more lyricism, with more relatability without trying to be relatable.
Yeah.
Not that I overslept and I didn't have time to make my coffee. It's like,
oh, please.
Oh my God, that's so relatable. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, it's so cringy and I hate it. I hate it so much. I just catch myself going back and listening to songs that, like, it is so rare for me to download a new song. All of my playlists are songs from like 2016 to before, if not like maybe 2018 to earlier.
Yeah.
That's all my playlists are. It's like very rarely new songs and it drives me insane. Insane.
I agree. I definitely think our music, like our high school music, like kids these days do not even understand. My little brother didn't know who Juicy J was. Do you know who Juicy J is?
Yeah, Katy Perry, Juicy J.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that's right. On. Yes. Yes, I know. Yes. Need some extra cash to pay for college with.
Like, come
just
on.
So happens I got a lot of it. Like,
literally. Speak on it.
Surely, you know, Scholarships by Juicy J. No, I played it for him in the car. He had never heard it. I know. Oh, bless a couple heart. Of, like, Ray Shremmerd songs, too. Like, the good, like, the old, the good ones. Like,
Black he just, Black Beatles and the
Save Sex and Paychecks. I know.
I'm telling you.
That was the time. That trend, the Monument. Was it the Monument Challenge? Is that what it was called? The Mannequin Challenge.
Yeah, that was like, that was when I was in college.
I wish things were as simple as that now, like, where everyone's video went viral and, like, people really had to put in work to, like, get everyone to stay in their places and share it on Twitter.
You know those, right? You know those videos? It's like the reverse ones.
What? How?
It's like, oh, God, I don't know what they're called. But it's like, in the video, they had to do everything backwards.
Oh, when they, or they're going in the pool.
Yes.
And it's like the superpowers are like,
you make my dreams come true. And it was all to Hall & Oates. I loved those videos so much. The little, I don't know what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about.
I think so. Yeah. I was thinking about a trend, but I think you're talking about
it's along those lines. It's like, you have to do everything backwards because then when you flip it, it's normal.
Yeah.
So it's like it would normally like hold place in a high school, and it's like everybody had their own part, and they all had to like learn to like lip sync the words, but like backwards. So like once it was flipped around, it all looked normal, and it was so cool. I loved those. Ugh.
Simpler times.
Simpler times, and now people are just. I don't know.
This is another thing, too. Like, I think we are the most nostalgic generation.
Yes.
We are so sad.
I agree.
We because just want like, it to be like before.
Yeah, because it's just, like, everything now in our lives are just, like, it just falling apart. It's crumbling. So then we just, so we want to escape what we're feeling now, and we want to go back to a simpler time.
Mm-hmm.
Where we didn't have to worry about or think about anything too intense.
It is, oh my gosh, just to think about how much has changed in the past, like, 5 years, seven years even.
Yeah.
It's like 7 to 8. It's really, yeah, it's hard. My For You page is all nostalgic stuff. Like,
same.
Kids in the 2000s, these were our toys, these were our snacks. Like, I get a lot of 80s core, too, like that saxophone, like that whiny saxophone. Ooh. Like, Miami, like, Mob Boss, like, definitely, I love all those vibes. But, like, I wasn't even alive, but I'm nostalgic for it.
For sure.
I'm nostalgic for the 80s.
I love that.
It was such a good time.
Amazing.
Can't believe you're out to live it. Anyways, guys, we've been blabbering for a long time.
Look at
that
us.
That was good.
Right. Was, like, I feel like I only looked down at the time like once or twice.
I know. Oh my gosh. Well, I love you. I'm glad we got to catch up. That felt good. And I hope to the girl who was asking us about advice and stuff, I hope we kind of helped. Just, I feel like all we can do is kind of put it in perspective.
Because,
like,
sure.
We can't give you all of the answers, but mindset is everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Love that.
Well, we love you. Subscribe, rate, all that stuff.
Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. And we might have some TikTok videos coming soon because I think Ian's going to start editing TikTok
videos. What a guy. What a guy.
I know.
What a guy.
Now, this is going to be fun.
I'm excited.
He's like, okay, so basically what Ian's going to do for us is, like, take a couple of clips from our podcast, like, 3 or 4, and cut them and then put captions on them so we can post them on TikTok so you guys can get little segments. But I was, like, nervous. He wants to do it because he wants money. But I'm like, does he care about what we talk about? Probably not. So I'm like, do I want to subject this, like, subject him to this? Like, talking about Gypsy Rose's pregnancy? Like, does he care?
He doesn't give two rips. But no, he'll do it too for a check. Hi.
He was like, I'll just play Call of Duty and listen to it at the same time. I was like, okay.
Hey, you know the beauty about this? We're getting another stream. The beauty about it is that we're getting another stream out of it.
One more.
We're just at least one more to add on to the docket. Light at the end of the tunnel, ladies.
Yep.
That's all we care about here.
Shout out Ian if you listen this far.
You're the realist.
He probably did.
He probably didn't. He probably saw a couple good hee-hees and ha-has and said, that'll be good for a month.
And that'll do it.
That'll do it until next week.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
that's perfect.
Well, anyways, yeah. Sorry, guys. We love you so much.
All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye.